It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, and we are live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show. Got a good show lined up for you. Our only guest today is Mike Mueller, who picked up the win last weekend, the $20,000 to win race that Kyle Larson put on. It was a 50-lap, $20,000 win at Bulls Gap. He picked up that $20,000 to win. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. And that's pretty big. You know, Mike Mueller was on our show earlier this year. He picked up a win down in Valdo. And, man, I don't know about you, Austin, but when I was watching that race at Bulls Gap and I saw Mike Mueller starting on the pole, I'm just going to say it. Mike Mueller is the only guy that's retweeted anything about our show, and all I could do was pull for Mike Mueller. And he ended up winning that, led every lap, picked up the 20 grand. That was pretty cool to see, wasn't it, Austin? Did you watch it? Did you get to see any of that race?
I watched a little bit of the highlights.
I hear you. You're good.
I couldn't hear myself talk. I don't know why that was.
I don't know, but I heard you.
We're switching microphones
all
today.
All right, go ahead.
But,
all right.
No, we watched the highlights of it, and, you know, he had a bad week at Bristol, destroyed a whole complete car. I think that car was almost brand new.
That car. Yeah.
And, you know, to see him kind of come back and have a good run was good to see. And, you know, I don't want to say he's a small team, but
he's a smaller team.
Smaller team than, like, yeah, your powerhouse teams. And to see someone kind of like him that's just a kind of a down-to-earth racer, you know, pick up a win like that on a big stage was really cool to see.
It's easy to pull for him, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, just knowing what he goes through as a smaller team. Now, I'm not sure how small his team is, right? But from outside looking in, it appears that they're not as big as some of the mega teams that are out there. So I was happy to see him win. All right, so we've got some... I don't know if this is true or not. We've been doing a little bit of research. I don't know if you've taken a look on there to see what you found, but the word we're getting is that Williams Grove may need some tires this weekend. Have you found anything on that, Austin?
No. Back to the old microphone now, so I think we're working good here.
You were working before. Just so
I don't know why it just kind of cut out on me.
Right.
No, so I kind of looked into it, and the one article I found was from Sprint Car Unlimited, and I'm working on getting a subscription bought through there. I just ran out of time before the show started.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we saw a press release last night come out about American Racer. Yes, Sprint Cars run Hoosiers, but
right,
American Racer said they're pretty much going to be out of material to build tires here in a couple weeks, and they're going to be shutting down the plants just to try and, you know, get their stock built back up. And they also don't know how long it's going to be until they get more materials back into the plants to build more tires and make more tires. And yeah, it's just not a good situation. And we were hoping this would not happen until June, July, August. Well, it's middle of April, and it's already happening. It's not a good look.
You know, you and I, we've been talking about Hoosier all this time, right? But now McCrary's jumping into this game, and if that happens and modifieds can't get tires, now the racing industry's really in trouble.
Well, that and the big joke on social media right now is, you know, Southwest Speed is now the next big thing on tires. That, you know, there's a small little tire company now. They're probably the only tire company that can get materials to build tires, and now they're going to be the hot item on the market.
Oh, man. What a bad deal. And the All-Stars are going to be out at this weekend, are going to be at Williams Grove, right? So that's a little bit sticky situation as well. You got a traveling series coming in there, and they're not going to be able to buy any tires. Most of those traveling teams, they'll carry their own tires with them, don't they, for the most part?
Yeah, they usually try to stock up, you know, at their dealer here, you know, close to their shop. But, you know, you get to a place where you either cut a tire, you have, you know, a couple tires let go on you, and now you're sitting – you know, down two or three tires in your trailer, and you got to go buy some in the Hoosier trailer at the track doesn't have any. You know, now you're in a hurt situation.
Right. Marie just chimed in. She said Grandview changed the starting time because of the tire shortage. So that's a little bit interesting, to be honest with you.
Did they push it back later?
I'm not sure. She just gave me that much information there, just a little teaser there. So, you know, that's a big deal. I don't know.
I mean, you look at it, you know, how hot it gets here in the Midwest in the summertime. So,
right.
You know, you have races starting at 5 or 6 o'clock, and the sun's still baking down, and the sun doesn't set till, what, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the summer? You know, now if we can start a little later and have a cooler tractor race on that,
right.
All you can do is try and help your track situation and help drivers not burn up through all their tires.
Yeah. Well, it's a bad deal, to be honest with you. And I hate to say this, but I've got a feeling this is really going to affect our summer of racing right now. Do you feel the same way, Austin? Now that we know that McQuarrie's got a problem, Hoosier's got a problem, I don't know if Goodyear still runs any dirt track tires anywhere, but just knowing those two, and those are the two big ones, right? McQuarrie and Hoosier.
Yes.
If those two have problems and they're not able to produce tires, it could shut down our racing season this year, and that could really happen. I'm just not making something up here. That could really happen, couldn't it?
It can, and I for so long we talked about this. I've always I didn't want to say I don't want to believe it's true, but I didn't want to try and accept the fact that it could happen. You know, us racing getting shut down, and I think that's more evident now than it was back then. It's just, I mean, look at it. We're already having companies say that. Well, if they can't get any more tires, they can't do anything, so they're going to shut down. And
right,
you know, that's like you said, Hoosier and McQuarrie, your American Racer, your biggest two tires. So USMCS right. won't have tires. Australia is almost done racing, but they're big on American Racers and sprint cars. The Outlaws, late models. I mean, everything is all Hoosier or American Racer. And that's just the backbone of racing. Like you said, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good, and I've got a. My gut tells me we're going to have some issues this summer.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw...
I'm going to say it right now. As much as I hate to say it, I believe we're going to miss some races this year because of those tires.
Do you see... This might... I don't know if this could ever happen, but... Do we see more racing like March 1st to like May in the Midwest... And kind of do like Australia, Arizona, New Mexico, dude, down in the right. the hotter states.
Cut down the season a little bit, maybe?
We take out the summer races where you run one or two a month,
then
we pick up the season in the fall when it's cooler out.
But here's the thing about racing season. The promoters make most of their money at the start of the season and at the end of the season because a lot of people don't want to go to the racetrack during the heat of the summer.
That's what I'm saying. That's
the money time of the season at the start and the end.
Right. That, and then you have like a summer break where, manufacturers can kind of get their inventory and their stock built back up, and then you can hit it hard at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, there's plenty of possibilities what they can do to kind of help, ease this problem, but it's not good.
It's not going to be good.
No.
So let's try to look forward here. And think what some of these series and maybe some of the race teams have to look forward to this summer. And when I say look forward to, that's tongue-in-cheek, right? I'm not so sure that maybe if the tire shortage is going to affect us here early in the year, that maybe they need to do is just cancel some races. Man, and you hate that, right? For the World of Outlaws, for the All-Stars, because so many people enjoy watching those guys, the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. There's so many people that enjoy watching those races when they travel to their favorite town that the fans are going to be the biggest loser here of anybody, I would say. That's the biggest problem
well,
I see
that,
right
and
now.
Then
the
you
fans
look,
are the losers.
You look at like the World of Outlaws, and I think some of the All-Star drivers are... pay to drive sprint cars for a living. You know, now you start canceling races and they don't get to get their paycheck after a race. What's that going to do to someone's livelihood?
Right, right. We got one listener in here that says all sprint all sprints need to be on the same tires so they can concentrate on just building one type of tire. Do you agree with that?
I've said that for a long time. Yeah. Brian Brown made the comment about that on Twitter this morning. H15 right rears, H12 left rears, y'all run the same.
Yeah. I think that's the easiest solution to the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, years ago, you could source out race saver tires and two left rear compounds, right, and three right rear compounds, and
right.
I mean, you can do that, but you can't get enough material to source yourself out through that many different tire compounds and just make two and make as many as you can, and at that, make a set date. Let's say August 1st is when you have to run that tire at, let's say, an ASCS event, but until August 1st, run what you have or burn them all up and then start right. buying new and just run that same compound for the rest of the year or however long this takes to get it fixed.
Yeah, Caleb, he chimed in there and he said, let me scroll that right back up there to it. He said that would be something to have a spring season champion, a fall season champion, an overall year champion. Interesting ideas. I don't know if I like that idea or not.
I don't know.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. I just think anything we can do to kind of help solve this problem is good to do. I'm down for really anything, I guess.
Double D won't be at Bloomsburg between cost of travel and his job plus tire shortage. Listen, if you can't get your hands on tires, what are you going to do? You're going to just have to stay home, right?
Yeah.
Tommy jumped in here. He said that would take about 1 year to implement, so they say. I don't know if... Tommy, I probably need to get with you and get a good number for... I'm thinking Mike Allgaier would be the guy to call and talk about these Hoosier tires a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we talked a little bit before the show came on, American Racer put their press release out yesterday kind of stating what their problem was and, what's going to kind of transpire, here in a couple weeks. But Hoosier has, kind of yet to say what their big issue is. I think everybody's in the same boat, but they still haven't come out and said why the price increases, why we can't get tires, and all the factors that go into it.
I was listening on the radio, somebody, I can't remember where I heard it, but they said petroleum makes the nylon that goes in these tires, and that's where the issue is right now. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, I've told you a couple rumors, and I mean, there's probably five to six or maybe more
rumors
flying
right.
around, so you never know what's
yeah,
going
right.
on. But
no, for sure.
I don't. It'd be nice if they just kind of clear the air up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Tommy said nylon shortage as well. A Hoosier rep was on Steve Post's show a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week, to be honest with you. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he was from Hoosier. And he would probably be a good guy to have on the show if we could get a hold of him. We'll go back there and try to take a look and see who that guy was that was on
sure.
on Wing Nation, and we'll try to get him on the show as well. So, but this could change the entire racing season, and that's what I feel like. My gut feels like that we're going to miss some races this year because of this tire shortage.
You're right.
Do you feel it?
Well, you look at a couple, about a month and a half ago, the 305 Nationals at Devil's Bowl was canceled and postponed because they couldn't get race saver tires.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that was just the start of it. I think that was one of the first races to be canceled and postponed due to tire shortages.
Yeah. Gosh, dogs, man. This is going to be a bad deal. Let's hope, whatever happens, that Hoosier and McCrary can get their act together and get their hands on some of these tires and at least give us enough tires to where we can get through the summer. That's the biggest problem I see right now, just getting through the summer. And, man, I am sick to my stomach. Just the thought. Because, listen, what happens if modifieds run out of tires? Modifieds are the number ones class in the country, right? You're racing one right now.
I am.
Right? A mods, B mods, E mods. The market is saturated with modifieds.
Yes.
What if they can't get their tires? That's going to be a bigger deal than maybe even the Hoosier deal. Do
I think everything is in the same boat. I mean, sprint cars are just as popular. So I think, you know, everything is kind of on an equal playing field. But at what point do touring series or tracks, you know, open up a rule where you can prep tires? You know, you can prep tires and, you know, on your older used tires and bring some life back into them and extend your life on used tires to where you can kind of, you know, instead of buying a new tire every two races, you can run that same right rear every four races, then buy a new one. You can just kind of double the life of it.
Yeah.
You know, at what point do you try and, you know, go down that route?
Yeah. Well, that's a big deal, man. And we hate to keep harping on it, but this could change the entire summer, the entire racing season.
It's
the biggest story in motorsports right now. Would you agree?
It is.
Yeah.
Bigger than anything else. I mean, I can tell you firsthand that I have six right rears that are supposed to be showing up at my house at any time now. I ordered them a month ago.
And I don't know when you're gonna get them.
I mean, once they come down to my dealer, I'll know. But he said I don't. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months. I don't.
You know, the one thing I don't like during all this is they're jacking the price up on these tires.
Yeah.
Now I get it, supply and demand. I understand all that. But the fact is, come on, Hoosier. Come on, McCrary. Let's don't hammer these
guys.
Well,
McCrary hasn't been as high as Hoosier has. I know, like, the modified tires have only went up $20-ish dollars a tire.
You got some new tires. So how much are they went up 20 a tire?
I think the old tires were like 125 a tire. And
compared to a Hoosier sprint car tire,
a sprint car tire went up at least $100 a tire, about $100.
You know, that really pisses me off. And of all the times right now that Hoosier needs to work with the teams, it would be right now.
Right.
Don't stick it up their butt and try to rip them off for the amount of money that... Because, listen, there's nothing worse than gouging people in the time of need. Right.
And now I would be, I don't like price increases. Nobody does, right?
Nobody does.
But, you know, I heard a rumor that, you know, let's say, I think Hoosier was bought out by a bigger company a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that company owns multiple tire manufacturers along with Hoosier. So what they do is that head company distributes out, materials to those companies, mm-hmm. those, you know, lower companies. And how they figure out the way they distribute to them is how much profit margin they have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was told that, you know, Hoosier doesn't have a very high profit margin. They don't get a whole lot of material. So the way they kind of compensate that and trick the system to getting more materials, they jack up the prices, and now they have a higher profit margin.
Right.
So that's why, you know, that was one rumor that I was told, that that's why the prices are being increased. But, you know, once again, only place that's come out and said why we're having price increases or shortages issues is McCreary and American Racer.
They're down low on the totem pole.
Right.
Is what the deal is.
Pretty much.
They don't make enough profit for the higher-ups
to
make it worthwhile to concentrate on those Hoosier tires or the McCreary tires.
Right.
Right. Well, Chad says, I applaud Brent Marks for standing up and saying it isn't right. Rick says that Hoosier shouldn't have the monopoly that it has. I agree with that, right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have the monopoly on these sprint car tires. I just cringe at the thought of this. Michael says, left rear micro tires, when you can get them, were $195, and the right rears were anywhere between $205 and $215. What'd you spend on micro tires back in the day?
I can't remember.
You don't remember?
I was too young to pay attention.
Right. Frog, he steps in here, and he says, I promise they're building tires because they don't have their act together. It's all material. And it costs inflation and demand. I don't care if it costs. I don't really care, to be honest with you. This isn't the time to gouge people for an extra $100 on these tires. Come on, Hoosier. Don't do that to the race fans. Don't do it to the race teams. It's already expensive enough to run out there on the road, beat up and down the road. It costs a fortune to do it. Everybody knows that, right? if you're a USMTS guy, or if you're a Lucas Oil late model guy, or World of Outlaws late model guy, All-Star Circuit of Champions sprint car team, or World of Outlaws sprint car team, you throw $100 extra on each tire. How many tires do you think a World of Outlaw guy burns up a year?
Well, Brent Marks told us his budget cap this year was going to be like $90,000 in tires.
So you're
$90,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
So you're going to have to increase that at least $50,000 or $60,000.
Well, that's what he's projected to spend this year. It was like $60,000 to $70,000 last year. That's what I remember him saying.
Well, it's going to be more this year.
Yeah. He said anywhere from $90,000 to $100,000 is what he predicts he's going to spend this year on tires.
Oh, man. Gosh, I hate it. All right. Well, enough on that. We'll talk to Mike Mahler about that as well. I wonder what the late model guys are thinking about. They've got to be concerned about
it. We haven't really talked to any late model guys and what their
on the tire
what their
situation.
Opinion was.
Right, yeah. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to visit with late model driver Mike Mahler. He picked up that $20,000 win at Bulls Gap, 50-lap race, led every lap of that race, and picked up the $20,000 on top of that. Mike Mahler joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
We take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is the winner of the Kyle Larson Late Model Challenge. Mike Mahler joins us. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing good, guys.
Hey, man.
Thanks for having me on.
That was a pretty dominating display of winning that 20 grand. That was pretty intense. Starting on the front row is a big plus to win that deal, though, right?
Oh, it is, yeah. In today's world, I even kind of mentioned there in the post-race interview, the lap cars and the leaders ain't a whole lot of difference in any of it anymore. Everything's just so competitive and so close that getting some breathing rooms sometimes way bigger than you would realize.
Yeah. So when you're out there and you're leading this race, how much do you think about what's going on around you and who's running behind you? Man, you had a stellar field of guys running right behind you. How much were you thinking about that during that race?
Well, you definitely, there's no room for error when you got, Kyle's, I think pretty much regarded as the best driver in the world, probably.
Yeah.
And then you got Scott Blomqvist and Jimmy Owens and all them guys that are, in my mind, in this arena, just as good for sure, So there's definitely no room for error. But I'm thinking probably less about getting past and more about just making sure that I'm, chasing the racetrack and moving around with the groove, because dirt racing, that's really that's a whole lot of it, is just making sure you're in the right part of the track and we're finding the grip all the time. So I was so focused on finding the grip and dealing with traffic and all that, that I wasn't as thinking about getting past much, but if you don't do the other things, you're going to get past. I mean, that's a fact,
You really got to pay attention to what you're doing out there in the line that you're running, be consistent every lap, try to hit the same spots, try to do the same thing over and over and kind of repeat yourself each lap. That's the most important thing at that point, right?
It is. But it's a moving target, These, like I say, when everybody's so close on times now, if you're in those tracks, they're as odd as it is. The track was pretty much, blacked from wall to wall. But even in that black, it's just sweet spots, and making sure that, if you don't find the sweet spot, Jimmy Owens and Scott Blomqvist, they're definitely going to find it, So being able to have that feel and know where you need to be on the track, and it kind of, just a foot or two left or right makes all the difference in your lap times. So it's definitely really technical, especially Bulls Gap. East Tennessee tracks are very technical racetracks.
I went to Bulls Gap for my first time last year with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. We were doing their pay-per-view for those guys. And I just got to say it. Man, to me personally, if you get over the fence over there in 3 and 4, that's not going to be pretty.
No. We were at Tazewell, Bulls Gap. Bulls Gap's like that. Tazewell's really sketchy because it's really fast to be so small.
Yeah.
And, I think the track record at Tazewell's in the 10s.
Holy cow.
And it's banked way more than Bristol is. And we were there at the pit meeting. One of the first times I ever went there, they had a guy that had recently took a trip over the wall, and he was in a full neck halo with them braces, holding his arms straight out and all that stuff at the pit meeting, explaining to us the dangers of the place. And I'm like, I don't know. C.J. Rayburn once told me when he went there and did a U-turn left He watched Hot Laps and loaded up and left.
Well, you know, in a sprint car, because we were there with a national tour, I thought to myself, man, if some guy wheel hops somebody and gets over that fence, they're going to be 100 feet off the ground. It's not going to be pretty for a sprint car if they clear that fence down there. And that's all I could think about all night long is, what if that happened? The guy that ended up winning the race, Blake Hahn, he ripped the top the entire night. It didn't scare him a bit. He just kept ripping the top down there. So it's a pretty amazing facility, really.
Yeah, us race car drivers, we're never thinking about going out of there until you see somebody go out of there, right?
Right.
I seen him one time at Bull's Gap have to get a the wrecker couldn't help this guy. He wrecked. It was in a crate car division, and he literally went onto the fence, and somehow the car hung on the fence. And he was like not on the track and not on the wall. He's literally four wheels in the fence with all the fence wadded up underneath the car.
Holy cow!
They had to go get a crane to get him out.
Wow.
So some stuff can happen down there for sure. It's Tennessee High Bank Racing, and they're all built in valleys. So when you if you ever get over the wall, it's going to be a long way to the bottom.
Mike, I don't mean this in any disrespect, but Austin and I were talking about this during the open of the show. And I totally don't mean this by any disrespect at all. Do you feel that you are on the same level as a Jimmy Owens or a Scott Blomqvist or a Kyle Larson or all the other big teams? Do you feel like you're on the same page financially with those teams? Because it seems to me that maybe you're not as big as those teams, but you're still competitive with those guys. Do you feel like that you're with them equal to those guys?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah. We're not a big team, but that's kind of by design. You know, I have the ability to, you know, if I went to Ronnie Doug, my team owner, and told him that there's never been anything that I've asked for that he hasn't provided for.
I got you.
But we're a kind of a small team. We are. It's kind of by design because it's myself, Josh Davis, my crew chief, and Jerry Sprouse. I don't even know if Josh is technically the crew chief, but we're just three guys that go racing. And I might groove a tire. Josh might drive the truck. Jerry might do the maintenance that week or what. Like we all just, you know, I'll be down there washing with them on Monday if I need to be. Just whatever it takes. So we got a really nice dynamic there, and everybody gets along, and we all know, we kind of know our boundaries. And, you know, when you're out racing and traveling like we do and living with each other in a motorhome, you know, it's nice to have that. So we're kind of small by design, but I don't feel like we have any disadvantages. There's times that, you know, maybe in a long stretch out on the road, we could use more help, but our dynamic is really good. Our internal workings, as far as clarity goes, as far as,
right,
you know, nice teamwork goes, we got what we need. I don't think that more money would help my team go faster right now.
You don't feel like you're at a disadvantage. That's what you're trying to tell.
No, I don't. Yeah. I actually think that in some ways it's advantageous to have, you know, the dynamic that my team has and that we've had now for quite a while, as far as we're low key, and but that's for I think, you know, purposely done that way so we can have good focus and have a real team that's just not, you know, floating people in and out and kind of having that, you know, it's a tough thing to navigate, you know, when you're living with each other 200 days a year. So when you find a happy medium there, mm-hmm. you just kind of stay with it.
Well, I know,
I think we found that over the years.
I know all about that. You know, I traveled with the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years doing their broadcast. I was out on the road about 180 days a year in a motorhome, traveling, living up and down the road. You better get along with those guys and have a good relationship with them, because you can stress each other out at some points when you're out on the road if you don't have that good chemistry.
That's right. And I think that, you know, we care about each other, and we all appreciate her job, and we realize what a opportunity that Ronnie Delk has afforded us and all of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes, you know, that keeps you humble. You realize, hey, this, how could we replace this? I mean, we're right here in our own, you know, all the equipment's in our hometown. We work out of our shop.
Right.
We're three buddies that live right here in the same neighborhood. You know, we just
awesome.
Can't, I mean, how could we ever recreate this? You know? So I think that helps us to be, aware, I guess, of what a nice situation we have and make it work too.
Right. Am I mistaken? Was that a brand new car that you ran that night?
No, I've ran it a little bit. I ran it three nights. It's at Volusia, and then I ran it at Smoky Mountain there a while back. And then, so that's probably the, you know, fourth or fifth, sixth race, something like that on it.
You know, it seems
but,
like...
It's new enough, you know, it's getting the bugs worked out of it for sure.
It seems like on the broadcast they said that was a new car, though, for some reason.
I think a lot of people thought that because I had crashed at Bristol the other day.
Yeah.
And you know, that car was, it is technically new, you know, so it's,
right.
I think that's probably why they were saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about this truck deal, man. Did you have fun doing that? Was that a lot of fun?
It is a lot of fun. It's, you know, Tom and Rocky Smith, you know, own that truck and engine, and they keep it at Josh Reum's shop, and whenever we go race, Josh, you know, Josh runs it under his team, and it's a fun way to go have, you know, it's a fun way to get some new experiences, and I think I'm acclimated, you know, the first times I ran it, you're just nervous, you don't know the rules, you don't know the system, you don't know, you know, like I'm in dirt racing, we don't have a spotter, right?
Right.
So, we're not hearing a strategy over the radio. So I definitely think, you know, I wouldn't say the news wore off, but I've done it now. You know, that's my third race in the truck, and I got to run the Cup car once and Xfinity car once. So now I'm acclimated to where, you know, if we do it in the future, you know, we probably need to. You know, I guess the conversation was, hey, you just need to take what we got and go race and make the best of it and get used to it. And then, you know, because if you get a really top-notch ride, that's like a car that's a front-running car, you know, you're not going to know how to do a pit stop or anything else, right?
So, right, yeah.
So as we're learning here, it's been a nice experience and got to meet a lot of cool people and just dabble in another world. And it's just, I told somebody the other day, it's kind of like I don't hunt or fish or do really anything for a side hobby. So that's kind of my side thing I do that's for fun.
Yeah. Were you running? I think you were running in the top 15 there at the end of the race when you had your problem there, weren't you running in the top 15?
Yeah,
at that
I was
point?
Right around there. I was like 15th or 16th. And you know, those guys, I mean, no offense, but they wreck a lot.
Right, right.
And you ever one of them races ends up in a big crash, and it's most of the time unnecessary. So there's a guy just wiped me out coming across the checker flag. He spun me out of the way to get that position. And so it didn't really hurt anything, but it just spun out. I finished the race. I was just going backwards at the flag stand, you know. So,
yeah.
So, we ended up like 17th when all that went down. But we were going to have, you know, 15th, and we're still top 20 and in that world. And the little team I was driving for, that's a win for those guys. And, We got a top five in the first time, but at Eldora. But Eldora's a different track. I mean, you can be off a little bit and drive around some problems up there. And Bristol's, you know, really just about like racing asphalt. It's, you know, everything's got to, your truck's got to be really good.
Yeah. I bet you after getting out of that late model and getting into that truck, it felt like driving a street stock probably, didn't it?
You know, the stock cars are, in my opinion, actually harder to drive.
Really?
Yeah, the speed, this, even though you're going around there at 20 seconds versus like I go around there at 15.0 in my dirt car,
mm-hmm.
it's 15.0 is easier than 15.0 in a dirt late model is easier than 20.0 in a pickup in a NASCAR truck.
Really?
And yeah, cause they're just so big and heavy and lethargic and you're just on the edge of out of control more in that truck actually than the dirt car. So,
yeah,
heavy stuff's hard to go fast in.
Yeah,
it's hard. The line, the room for error is way tighter. You know, so
yeah.
Or I'm sorry, you know, it's the it's real easy to let it get away from you. So it's weird. I know that's kind of what you would think, but as you do it, it's like the speed. Driving a good handling dirt late model at 15.0 is way easier to comprehend for your brain than driving something that handles bad at a 20.0.
Yeah.
As dumb as that might sound.
You know, I owned an ARCA team for 4 years, from 2003 to 2007, and had a lot of success. We run second with Clint Boyer in my car down at Nashville Super Speedway, had a good run down there, led 47 laps, lost the lead with 9 laps to go. So I'm pretty...
I remember watching that race. I didn't know that was you. That's crazy.
That was my car that Clint Boyer was driving that day. And believe it or not, that was only the second race as a team. The first race, I drove it at Kansas Speedway. I qualified 11th out of 50 cars, crashed late in the race, and then we put Boyer in at the next race, and he did all that down there at Nashville Super Speedway, and then we took him to Charlotte. 3 weeks later, he gets hired by Richard Childress. You know what? You know what? I'm still waiting, Mike, for that check in the mail. I haven't got it yet. I haven't even got a ride on it. I haven't even got a ride on his private plane yet.
Oh wow, that's a bummer.
I'm just teasing.
That's happened before.
Yeah. I'm just teasing. Hey, listen, I want to get into a subject here real quick. We've been talking about it a lot here on the show in the last few days, in the last week or so. Are you a little concerned about the whole Hoosier tire deal? Because man, they can't get the nylon, the petroleum, all this thing going on. We're hearing about Williams Grove might not have enough tires to race up there. We're hearing about Hoosier not having enough tires. Are you concerned about the season and the tire situation?
Yeah, I'm real concerned.
Yeah,
it's I'm real concerned. It's concerning for me. From, you know, I've got some buddies that own racetracks. That's you know, to me, it's the one thing we got to have, and the last thing in racing I'd want to own.
Mm-hmm.
Is a racetrack, and they just don't need any. They don't need any difficult. You know, they don't need it to be any harder.
Yeah, because they don't make enough money as it is anyway. To be honest with you,
I feel like that the actual tracks are on the short end of the stick. You know, Vic Hill put that deal on with Flo and all that there last week, and I just know what kind of effort he put into that, and you know, it's tough for the promoter or the track owner. He assumes a lot of the risk, and it could go a lot of ways for the guy that owns the racetrack. And if we don't have any tires this week, I can just put my race car on jack stands and it don't eat anything.
Right.
And you know, those racetracks aren't that way, so it concerns me for sure. Number one, for the tracks, and then. And then just from there, the spread out of, you know, beyond that. But, it's a major concern for all of us.
Yeah, we're visiting with Mike Marler. He picked up that $20,000 to win at Bulls Gap. Do you think we're going to get to a point during the season where they're going to have to cancel some races because we're going to be short on tires? Do you think we'll get to that?
You know, that's what I'm hearing. I sure hope not.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, you know, with the fuel prices being up now, and it may slow some of the racing down, because we have been, you know, they had the pandemic and the shortages, and then on top of that, now we race more than we've ever raced. So it's just
right.
It's just something that's kind of, you know, caught up with Hoosier. You know, they're going as fast as they can. They just can't keep up. And the only way this is going to work out is maybe that, you know, there's just less people racing. And yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough to have a real strong opinion on it, but I know that it's a major concern.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure. And we hate it for the promoters because they make their hay at the start of the season and at the end of the season, because the heat of the summer, a lot of people don't like to go to the racetracks, right? Because it's too hot. And so they got to make their money at the beginning, at the end of the season. And that's what I'm concerned about. The promoters making their money right now. And at the end of the season, and I'm just afraid that a lot of them are not going to make it through the summer.
Yeah, and I don't know that, like, maybe, like, say I was thinking about IMCA, like, you know, like your IMCA hobby stocks.
Yeah.
Like, say the IMCA hobby stocks run just like a radial tire, right?
Yep.
And then, you know, IMCA modifieds run a
McQuarrie. Yeah.
Macquarie tire, which I don't think there's a shortage on those.
There is.
I don't know.
There is a shortage on that. We just got a bulletin that Macquarie is going to have an issue with their tires as well. And if you think about that in the grand scheme of things, with A mods, B mods, E mods, there's more modifieds in this country than anything else, right? If they run out of tires, it's going to be a really big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully they figure out a way to put them. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they got to put them radials that they run on the hobby stocks on the E mods. I don't know what they got to do. But
yeah,
you know, the one thing we always say to the tire companies is like we really don't care if what kind of tire you have, as long as everybody's on the same one. In some instances, the worse it is, the better it is. You know,
right.
And as far as the racing goes. Low grip, you know, stuff that's low grip and slides around and has a good wear, a long wear pattern, you know, is not bad. So I don't know what they do, but it's definitely, like I said, it's a concern. I don't know. We just try to stay in front of it and not only tires. I mean, we're sitting there with one race car right now and they're backed up on race cars.
Oh boy.
And then it was motors, and we finally kind of got over the hump on motors, and I feel like we're kind of in a safe zone on motors. But it's kind of everything across the board, and it's bad timing for all that because, you know, our sport's in such a great place. There's so many people watching, so many viewers. I was over the NASCAR race at Bristol, and you wouldn't believe how many people come up to me and congratulated me and told me they had watched the race or they were over there, you know, at Bulls Gap watching or either watched on Flow. So. We've got more viewership and more attention on our sport right now than we've ever had, I think, in history. And now we're talking about, well, we might not be able to provide you content because we can't get a tire or a motor or something. So it's a weird place to be in for sure.
Bad timing, to say the least. That's the thing right now. It's just bad timing because, like you say, we've got all this momentum, so many people, so many streaming companies out there, allowing us to watch all these races. I've got all these TVs here in my studio, and I turn them all on to a race and watch them all. But you know what? I really am digging the late models this year. I just think that the late model program is. Do you think it's better than it's ever been right now?
I think it's better than it's ever been, and I think it's been good for a long time, and the rest of the world's kind of
catching up.
Woke up to it.
Yeah.
And even I was talking to my, you know, most people don't understand this. Like when I get to run this truck, it's majorly going backwards for me. Like money and just the trouble it takes to do it. And it's cool to do it. It's awesome to get to go run a NASCAR race. And you know, you got your name in some kind of record book in NASCAR. I mean, all that's cool to do. And it's cool to see the new fans, and I think it brings, you know, there's NASCAR fans out there that say, "Hey, who's this Mike Murphy guy?" And they're going to tune over to their late models. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody realizes that it's so going backwards. You know, those races don't pay anything. I mean, it's highway robbery to race with them, $2,500 a set for tires and this and that. Like, it's just, you know, a dirt late model racing is so much business sense wise, so much better. And, just, you know, like they were talking, some of my guys that I've met there down there were talking about what the sponsorships it takes to run those teams. And they're like, what do you need? And I'm like, well, I need to win. Like,
right.
I can do it with no, if I had zero sponsors and won all the time, that'd be enough.
Yeah.
In that world, it's not, you know.
Right. Do you have to think about it when you're out there racing and you know you only have one car? Does that get into your mind? Do you have to think about that a little bit when you're out there racing? I can't tear this up because I'm waiting on another car?
I don't necessarily think about it when I'm racing, but I think it makes me pick my battles more choosier. You know, for example, Bristol's got those races next week, and I'm dying to go back over there, but after – you know, we wrecked and destroyed a car the other day, and it's just not really made for those speeds.
Yeah.
You just can't have anything go wrong. Like it's the only track that I go to that I feel like I'm going to break parts. You know, these other tracks, if you wreck, it's just because you wrecked. But over there, if you wreck because, you know, you snapped a lower control arm in half or, you know, the tire couldn't take it or whatever it was, you know.
Right.
And so it makes me choose my battles more, I guess. Like, say, for example, Macon, Illinois has got a 15,000 win in a couple of weeks. It'd be cool to go to that. But not the kind of place a guy goes when it's his only car, you know.
Right, right. David on here wants to know, obviously it killed that car at Bristol, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's repairable, but it's the Longhorn chassis is in the middle of moving right now, so it's just kind of a delay on getting it repaired. But
yeah,
but we're going to get a new car. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Man, I always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. You know, I'm always pulling for you. You know, you're gracious with your time coming on the show, and I always appreciate that. And I'll be rooting for you the rest of the season, my friend.
Guys, I sure enjoy coming on here, and I love what you're doing. And I'm gonna try to win more, so you'll have me back on. How about that?
Well, anytime you win, we're gonna call you, and I hope you come on with us.
Hope I get to talk to you a lot this year, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Mike Mahler joining us on the show. He's a great guy. We appreciate him taking the time to join us here on the show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We want to thank Mike Marler for coming on and talking about his late model win there at Bulls Gap, that $20,000 win, and his truck race at Bristol. Did you get a feeling that he might not go back to Bristol? Did you sense that?
That's
a little bit?
That's pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a point. Bristol's really hard on equipment. I remember when the sprint cars went there last year that teams would bring brand new cars because they just couldn't take the chance of having to
tear it up.
Well, I mean, having a part failure, like you said, you know, he had a tire go down. And he wiped that car completely out.
You only have one car.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take that chance.
You know a little bit about having one car, don't you?
I do.
Now you have two cars now.
Yeah,
but is one a roller?
One is a race ready car, and then one is a frame and body that's getting pieced together.
I want to ask again. This is mostly motorsports, so I'm going to get a little off topic here just for a second. I want to ask anybody. Does anybody that listens to this show watch American Idol? Now, I know you don't, Austin, because you don't watch TV.
Did you just say American Idol?
American Idol. Does anybody watch American Idol last night? Because they cut it down to the last 14 last night. And I just got to say it. I love watching Idol and Voice because, you know, I'm a music guy. I love music as much, almost as much as I love motorsports, to be honest with you. And I want to know if anybody was surprised by the last person that got in last night. Chuck's listening. He said he watches it. Chuck, were you surprised that Tristan, the last guy that got in, the little rock star guy, can you believe that he got in over some of those other talented singers? Because I was shocked. I could not believe it that guy made it in before some of those other people. Is anybody else with me on that? Is anybody think, like, how did that guy get in over some of those other people? I was blown away last night. I couldn't believe it. Kirk, you don't watch Idol, do you?
No.
Marie Kirk says, haven't watched since Carrie Underwood won. That's been a couple years ago. I don't know. I don't know. It just kind of. He was shocked. See there? I'm with you, Chuck. I couldn't believe it either. The tall guy that had the double chains on, he sang one of the judges' songs. What's her name?
You're asking the wrong person.
My gosh.
Katy
Perry. He sang Katy Perry's song. And I thought he did an excellent job with it. And I still can't believe that guy lost to the rock star guy. I'm just blown away by that. I can't get over it. It's too much. My head wanted to explode. I couldn't believe it. All right. Austin, you're racing this weekend, aren't you? But it's not going to be your sprint car. Unfortunately, you're still waiting on your motor.
I am. I kind of feel like Mike Marler there. He's talking about how he's backed up on engines. You know, they can't get any done, and that's the same boat I'm in. And this will be week number four in a modified.
So you're going to miss this weekend. You would have went to Salina, and you would have went to US 36.
No, I just would have went to US 36.
Oh, would you?
I thought about Salina, but
too much fuel.
No, it's not that far out. Just trying to get everybody off of work in time. It was kind of a. We didn't really plan
I'll
on.
Help you.
We didn't really plan on going to Salina until kind of that. Well,
oh, I can't.
Recently,
I can't go help you.
Why's that?
Because I gotta be up at 6 a.m. to do track talk.
I gotta be here with you. We're in the same boat.
Well, you don't have to be here.
I don't have to, but
I mean,
I get paid to be here. I can't complain about that. I gotta build another race car.
Well, it's I know that, my but pocket. I'm just saying, Todd can handle it if you want to take the day off. So
we'll
that's
see.
Your choice.
We'll see how late it goes.
We can always bring Deidre down here to help Todd.
True.
Deidre's.
I have too much fun, though. That's the thing.
See, you're starting to get a little addicted to this, aren't you?
Yeah, when you don't race for a long time.
When you don't have anything else to do.
I'll be honest. I'm glad I'm racing something. It might not be a sprint car, but I'm glad I'm racing something. Because sitting at home doing nothing sucks.
Yeah,
I can only clean the shop so many times. I'm down to cleaning the walls. That's how bad it is.
That's how bad it is. Is the floor clean?
Of course.
Oh,
you got to have clean floors.
Yeah, you got to have clean floors. Marie said, good luck. Good. Austin, good luck. Oh, go Austin, good luck, I should say.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it, Marie.
Yeah. We can always count on her, right? She's here every day, and we appreciate her so much. So the modified, you're going to be running at Lakeside Speedway this weekend. You're not going to be going up to that shithole up there in Winston anymore, right?
No, since Lucas Oil opened up, they're supposed to open this week, and I'll probably go down there. But I think if we don't race Saturday, or if we race Friday night, I probably won't race Saturday night. I'll just probably go to US 36 and help Blake, hang out with Blake that weekend. And if they get to race, we got a bunch of rain coming in, and
you know,
I wouldn't be mad if it canceled. I wouldn't be mad.
I know it. It wouldn't bother you a bit, would
it? Not one bit.
Yeah. You wouldn't burn up any tires this weekend either.
Well, I heard a rumor that lady that cuts my hair, her husband races stock cars up there weekly. They went to a practice about a week before that outlaw race was supposed to be there, before it got rained out.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the track prep guy either quit, got in an accident.
We're at US 36?
Yeah, he's not doing it anymore.
Uh-uh.
And so I think Mike Franks is back on the track prep. And they said it was rough getting into one and it was super heavy. So,
oh, God.
I don't know.
Mike, step away from the track prep equipment, please.
That's just what I heard. Is it true?
You know,
I don't know, but
Mike's all about hammer down.
Yeah, I just...
Narrow, fast.
I don't mind if it's narrow, but just get the rut out of one. That's all I care about.
Yeah, because it bit you once.
A couple things bit me.
Yeah, I hate that, bud. All right, so tomorrow we're going to have Steve Post on, right?
We are. Yeah. We got a pretty good show Thursday, though.
Thursday show, Philip Dietz is going to join us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait to talk to Philip. I spoke to him yesterday for a little bit. He's going to be coming on the show talking about him taking over JJR and what it's meant for him as a team owner. I'm really happy for Philip Dietz, to be honest with you.
He's
a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met Philip, but we were going to try and maybe get a couple cars from him at some point. Nothing just really came through, and you know, he tried to do that deal with Parker Price Miller in his own car before he took over Jason Johnson Racing, and you know, they had some success with it. But I'm kind of glad to see he took over the big team and, you know, has full control of everything now.
Yeah, he's a really good guy, man. I traveled up and down the road with those guys for a long time with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour when Jason was racing with us and Philip was there. He's such a good guy. I'm so happy for him that it's all working in the right direction for him. All right, we want to thank Mike Marler for coming on and talking about his big win at Bulls Gap, that $20,000 win, 50-lap race that he picked up the win there. And I also want to thank my partner, Kirk Elliott, for monitoring the broadcast over here each and every day. He's hanging out with us. And my great producer, he's awesome. We're so happy to have him on board with us here on Mostly Motorsports, Austin O'Neill. Good luck to you this weekend, buddy. I hope you...
It's been 4 years since I won a race. My microphone keeps going out on me. It's been 4 years since I won a race. 4 years. That's too long.
You're going to win one this year, bro.
I hope.
You're going to get it this year. I promise you.
Drive me nuts.
No, you're going to get it.
Oh, I know. I'll get it, but sooner or later it'll be really nice.
Don't think too much about it.
No.
Because when you start thinking about it too much, that's when shit happens.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
I only think about it Monday through Friday.
All right, good luck to you on Friday night, bud. I hope you get it in. All right, thanks everybody for tuning into the show. We had a great number today, people watching the show. We want to thank all of our regulars that tune in each and every day for our show. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Good luck, Austin, from Mel, by the way, so you know. And thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott Traylor saying we'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.